Let's all go to the lava.
Welcome to the Saturday Frights Podcast. I am the Projectionist, your co-host for this radio program. Now, come, join your host, Vic Sage, as we enter the vault to once again discuss retro horror films and television programs.
Okay, Projectionist. It looks like everything is set up and good to go for the Dick Miller Marathon for our fellow Retroist Vault staff tonight. Boy, what a way for 2019 to start kicking us in the gut, huh? First Dick Miller passed away, then we lost Julie Adams, and just recently Albert Finney.
Indeed, Victor. However, as you have stated on your social medias, at least these actors left behind a vast library of entertainment for us to enjoy.
That is true, but it doesn't make it any easier to come to terms with the fact we'll never get to see Dick Miller in another Joe Dante film. That is where I was first introduced to him, by the way, in 1981's The Howling. Caught that excellent werewolf film at the 62 drive-in, in fact.
Sage, look at the control console. It appears we are recording for our new radio broadcast.
Hey, friends. Thanks for joining us again on the Saturday Frights podcast. This episode was originally going to be about 1996's The Frighteners, but with the sad news that we lost Dick Miller, a truly iconic character actor, the Projectionist and myself felt we should do a tribute episode. Actually, my co-host here was able to pull some strings and schedule a marathon of films featuring Miller for the Retro's Vault staff tonight.
It is truly astounding what the right word in the right ear can accomplish in the film business, dear listeners.
It's nice to hear the film distributors you are in contact with were more than happy to help honor Dick Miller.
Something like that. More like a threat or two to friends and family.
What was that, Projectionist?
Nothing, my dear boy. You were saying that Joe Dante's The Howling was your first introduction to Dick Miller?
Oh, yeah, while I have certainly gone on and on about the 62 drive-in on this podcast, the truth of the matter is so many of my movie memories come from that cherished outdoor theater. We will have to tackle The Howling in the near future. Actually, listeners, that is one of the first films we have programmed for the Dick Miller tribute tonight.
Yes, against my wishes, the Retroist asked the staff to submit their requests for which pictures to include in this tribute. It appears that intern Rockford J was able to talk the vault staff into making sure The Howling was included.
Well, it's not only a great film, but Miller's cameo in it is pretty amazing too.
Would you silence that infernal noise?
Projectionist, Vic, are you still in the control room?
Hey there, Rockford. We were just finishing up some work before we started to head down to Auditorium Number 2 for the Dick Miller tribute.
Intern Rockford J, since you are interrupting our radio broadcast, I assume you have completed the tasks I set before you.
I polished the theater seat backings, restocked the concession stand, and cleaned the bathrooms, Projectionist.
Excellent, intern Rockford J.
Not sure why you feel a toothbrush is the best way to clean the restrooms, though.
A toothbrush?
A toothbrush ensures that no part part of the tiled floor or walls is missed, Victor.
It's spotless, projectionist. Not sure why it has to be my personal toothbrush.
Projectionist?
Hush, your caterwauling sage. It's all in the Retroist Vault 10 book, I assure you.
You burnt your copy of the handbook. If the Vault HR department hears about this...
Intern Rockford J. Victor here was just sharing his memories about the first picture where he was introduced to Dick Miller. That was the Howling. Considering your passionate requests to your fellow Vault co-workers, I assume you have a little something to say about it as well?
If there was a more ubiquitous character actor in my lifetime than Dick Miller, I probably would be hard-pressed to say who it was. You look at his IMDb, and it's as long as your arm. He did movies, he did TV, big features, small features, independent film, studio pictures, series, television, guest appearances. He really was everywhere. You could almost make a game out of picking Dick Miller appearances out of your movie watching or your TV rerun watching. I was probably first aware of Dick Miller to know who he was from The Howling, which I saw on pay cable when I was a kid. I was almost certainly too young to see that at the time I saw it, but it was on the movie channel six times a day for a few months, and more often than not, I would tune in if I had the opportunity. And Dick Miller made a great impression on me in that movie. He plays the owner of the occult bookstore, where Dennis Dugan gets a little primer on werewolves and the mythology that surrounds them. It's a kind of a thankless part, I suppose, the role that Dick Miller plays. I'm going to assume he's playing Walter Paisley. I haven't checked the credits in a while, but that would be my guess. It's a very exposition-heavy part. He's the guy who's there to sort of give the characters and the audience the information that they need to carry them through the rest of the picture. And the way he does it is so entertaining that you don't really perceive it to be exposition. He's so matter-of-fact. He, as his character says, you know, what am I, an idiot? I'm here to make a buck. You want wolf bane? You want chicken blood? You want silver bullets? I got silver bullets. I take American Express, Visa, MasterCard. It's a great performance. It's very off the cuff. It's tossed off almost in the ease in which he delivers the part. Very no-nonsense, but also conveying the information that you need in that great location. I'm assuming that most of that was set dressing with Forrest Ackerman walking around and carrying Famous Monsters back issues in his hand. But it's just a fun part. Dick Miller, he in some ways reminds me of one of my other favorite character actors, Darren McGavin. They kind of look similar, and they have a very similar world-weary kind of quality about them. Miller appears a couple of more times in The Howling. When Dennis Dugan's character comes back to pick up the silver bullets, and toward the end when, can you spoil a 35-year-old movie, I suppose, when one of the characters has a very public transformation into a werewolf, he pops up then too. It's just a fun movie. He's a very nice sort of seasoning. He doesn't have a big part in the movie, but it's a part that you remember, and a part that I remembered because from that day on, Dick Miller was a face and a voice that I recognized, and whether it was in Gremlins, which of course is a movie that most of us of a certain age remember very fondly, or, you know, any number of Roger Corman produced movies from the 60s and 70s. I'm, you know, obviously A Bucket of Blood and The Terror, where he has another thankless exposition delivering role, to Big Bad Mama with Angie Dickinson and William Shatner, which is a great movie if you haven't seen that. It's not at all horror related, but it's remarkably well-made movie for the amount of money that they had to make it on. Very entertaining. And some Star Trek appearances. I'm immediately thinking of maybe a Deep Space Nine that he was on in the 90s and maybe more. Dick Miller's career is a treasure trove of fun TV and movies and big parts and small parts. And I don't know anybody that's ever even been able to count all of them, let alone see all of them. Somebody I'm going to miss he just, anytime he turned up, you were going to have a fun 2, 3, 10, 15 minute viewing experience, whatever he appeared in. I know he was Joe Dante's lucky charm. I'm going to miss seeing him, and I'm sure Joe is going to miss being able to cast him going forward. Nobody lives forever, and not everybody is able to leave a legacy like Dick Miller. And been nice to have an opportunity to talk about him.
That was awesome, Rockford. Thanks for sharing that. We'll see you in just a bit at the marathon.
Assuming I do not remember more chores for you to complete, intern Rockford J.
Projectionist?
Oh, very well. I look forward to seeing you at the marathon.
Thanks, projectionist. Vic, I'll hold you a seat. Good luck on the show.
Thanks, Rockford. It's going to be quite the turnout. Projectionist, Rockford was so very right about Miller having a world-weary, or I'd add, a blue-collar style to his acting. He was the everyman. He was rarely ever the lead, but Miller was memorable in all of his roles.
Agreed, Sage. Were you aware, however, that acting was not the first vocation Dick Miller sought out?
Something about being a writer for TV, is that right?
Partially correct. Dick Miller served in the U.S. Navy, and upon his discharge, worked as a drummer for bandleader and radio host, the great Bobby Sherwood. Dick Miller, at this time, also made a living wage as a disc jockey for WNEW and WOR in New York City. He was born and raised in the Bronx, after all.
I don't believe I've had the pleasure of hearing Bobby Sherwood, projectionist.
That is because, Victor, you are as ignorant as you are ill-equipped to host this very radio program. Bobby Sherwood played with Bing Crosby, worked as the band leader for none other than Judy Garland at Decca Records. Why, he even made appearances on the Red Buttons television show.
Sorry, man. I guess it's a bit before my time.
Dick Miller, in addition to his ability to play the drums, was crafting jokes for Bobby Sherwood and even Burt Parks, the well-known game show host for television programs such as Stop the Music, Double or Nothing, and his very own variety program in 1950, entitled The Burt Parks Show. It was around this time that Dick Miller decided to roll the dice on his future, as they say, traveling to California against the advice of Bobby Sherwood. It was not smooth sailing, but he was selling story ideas to a science fiction program of the 1950s when, through a friend, he met Roger Corman.
Now, I've heard about this first encounter through a 2012 article by way of the AV Club. Miller went to meet Corman, and the legendary producer and filmmaker asked what he was good at. Miller told him he could write. It is said that Corman replied he didn't need writers but actors, to which Dick said, "I'm an actor," which is how he appeared in multiple roles in his first movie with Corman, which was 1955's film Apache Woman. Actually, in that AV Club interview, he mentions he not only played multiple parts in the movie, as a Native American and a townsman, he actually almost was in a scene where he would have played a character that ends up shooting and killing the other character he was playing. On the post for this podcast on The Retroist, I will definitely link to that AV Club interview. It's an incredible read. Although, be warned though, it's not safe for work. Miller didn't mince his words on certain films and folks in the industry. Corman and Miller would have a long career together, 20 films, and those are just the movies that Roger Corman directed. But that list includes 1956's It Conquered the World, 1957's Not of This Earth, and let's not forget Rock All Night, where Dick Miller plays a street tough named Shorty, who, like the other patrons of the Cloud Nine Club, find themselves being held hostage by two crooks on the lam. Jigger, one of the criminals, by the way, is played by Russell Johnson. You will probably know best as playing the professor from Gilligan's Island. Do you want to guess how the confrontation between Jigger and Shorty plays out? Considering that Miller was a prized middleweight boxer during his time in the Navy.
Dick Miller was running the gamut of roles, dear listeners. Starting off in Corman's Westerns, to playing street toughs, and of course, numerous parts as police and military officers. Rock All Night is a solid feature film, and while it is an ensemble picture, it is Miller that stands out.
I totally agree with that, projectionist. I've heard that it is Quentin Tarantino's favorite Roger Corman film, which is why Tarantino cast Miller in his hit film Pulp Fiction, although sadly his part was cut out. Now, one of my personal favorite roles of Miller's from his Corman days was 1959's Bucket of Blood, where he would play Walter Paisley, a busboy turned artist, when he stumbles upon the fact that people believe he is a talented sculptor.
Yes, when Walter Paisley accidentally kills his landlady's cat, he attempts to hide the deed by covering the cat in clay. This black comedy shows to what efforts Walter Paisley will go to find fame and fortune.
This was Miller's first and only movie where he played the lead role, I believe. I agree with you, though, projectionist, about calling it a dark comedy. His character of Walter Paisley is a little like Seymour Krelborn in the equally dark comedy The Little Shop of Horrors, which Dick Miller also appeared in as Burson Futch, the flower-eating patron of Mr. Mushnick's shop.
Dear listeners, you might find it interesting to know that Miller was offered the role of Seymour Krelborn. I have heard he felt it too similar to his role in Bucket of Blood, however.
Yeah, that's what I read as well. Friends, I should add that his character's name in Bucket of Blood became something of an in-joke later in Miller's career. He played a character named Walter, or Walter Paisley, six different times. Not the same character as in Bucket of Blood, mind you. Like Rockford pointed out, he was indeed named Walter Paisley in 1981's The Howling. He actually first played his second character with that name in another Joe Dante film, 1976's Hollywood Boulevard, which Dante co-directed with Alan Arkush. That was the first of a slew of movies that Dante cast Miller in, as he also appeared in Dante's segment of Twilight Zone the Movie, as a diner owner named Walter. In 1986, after already appearing in Joe Dante's Gremlins as Mr. Futterman, he appeared in two exceptional cult films. Chopping Mall, as a janitor named Walter Paisley, who runs afoul of the security robots who have gone haywire, and then in Fred Decker's Night of the Creeps, appearing in a scene with the equally legendary Tom Atkins, who requests a flamethrower, as fire kills the hideous slugs that bring the dead back to life in that film.
Hi, Walt.
Well, well, well. Detective Ray Cameron, son of a gun, is that really you?
Yeah, it's me, all right, Walt. How's about you?
Hey, can't complain. Cannot complain, Raymond. Hiya, Split. That's a pretty fancy set of duds you got on there. What is it, Halloween or something, Ray? Did I miss something? Hey, kid, I'm only kidding. So, what can I do you for?
Well, the thing is, Walter, what I need is... I need your basic flamethrower.
Flamethrower? Flamethrower!
Yeah?
Flamethrower! Jesus. What's the matter? The old snub nose ain't good enough for you anymore?
I know. Just break out the old heavy artillery, will you, Walt?
One slingshot, one BB gun, and one flamethrower. There you go. By the way, you gotta watch out for this baby. Once you light the pilot, it goes out, and it plays hard to get.
Thanks.
So, if you just let me have the requisition.
Oh, well. The thing is, Walter, I don't have a requisition form, is the thing.
You don't? Well, geez, to tell you the truth, Ray, that could be a little problem.
Yeah. There could be a little problem.
Quite humorous scene in the film when Tom Atkins' character reveals he doesn't have the proper request form, taking it by force with the aid of a loaded shotgun.
Dick Miller truly worked with some of the greatest actors of all time, like Boris Karloff, Jack Nicholson, Vincent Price, Jackie Joseph, Ray Milland, Lee Marvin, Christy McNichol, Bruce Dern, Robert De Niro, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Rod Stewart, as he was featured in Stewart's Infatuation music video as a gangster. Honestly, we could be here all day just covering all the actors and actresses Miller worked with over his 90 years.
Do not forget, Serge, the legion of well-known directors that Dick Miller worked for. Not just Roger Corman and Joe Dante. How about Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese, Jonathan Demme, Robert Zemeckis, James Cameron, Tom Hanks, and as you mentioned, Quentin Tarantino. I assume, dear listeners, you recognize many of those talented filmmakers.
Miller, besides being a capable actor who continuously delivered performances where he either stole the show or managed to craft a cameo that was memorable, also happened to stand up to the Ramones in real life in another Alan Arkush-directed film. That was 1979's Rock and Roll High School, where he played a police chief that detests the band, who appear as themselves in the film.
You have managed to upset the entire school with this godforsaken noise.
Things sure have changed since we got kicked out of high school.
Hey, come on, you guys, follow me into the school!
They tried to stop their music, but the kids got wrecked and rocked the school.
The chief of police, he's going to storm the building.
Rock and Roll High School, the school where the students rule.
Could your school be next?
Now, this comes from that AV Club interview from 2012. But as Dick Miller explained his confrontation on the film, he said, quote, "The Ramones had a gopher with them. They called him the clown or something, and he used to keep them laughing and go get coffee for them. And I remember one night, one of the girls was having a birthday, and they got this beautiful cake for her. And the clown thought he'd be funny, and he started throwing the cake around, and he busted it, and I got mad. I very rarely show my temper, so I said, 'Go out and get a cake.' He said, 'Where are you going to get a cake in this neighborhood?' I said, 'I don't know. Ralph's, a market someplace, you find it.' He said, 'I don't want to go traveling in this neighborhood.' And I went to the head Ramone, whatever his name is, Johnny Ramone or something, and I said, 'Tell this guy, if he don't go out and get a cake for this girl that he just messed up, I'm going to mess him up.' And this guy went out and got a nice cake for her." End quote. Friends, I cleaned up some language there for some obvious reasons. I think it's safe to say that Miller really hit his stride in the 80s, thanks to the likes of Joe Dante. But he was also a regular on TV series Fame. He appeared in the Amazing Stories episode The Greeble, Tales from the Dark Sides, All a Clone by the Telephone, a fun episode that features the late and great Harry Anderson. He appeared in multiple episodes of the 90s Flash TV series and even did some voiceover work for the likes of Batman the Animated Series and Justice League Unlimited. While The Howling was my first introduction to Dick Miller, it was probably Gremlins that really cemented him as one of my favorite character actors. I also enjoyed his role in the cult classic Space Raiders from 1983 as Crazy Mel. I can also remember his role as the gun shop owner in 1984's Terminator, because, yet again, that is a film I caught at the 62 drive-in. Don't get me wrong, probably like many of you of a certain age, you did like my father and I did when Miller showed up on screen. We nudged each other with elbows and a big smile proclaiming, "Hey, It's that guy.
Which might be the very reason that a documentary was created to celebrate Dick Miller and his acting legacy.
Absolutely, my friend. In 2014, Elijah Drenner put together a documentary called That Guy, Dick Miller. It's an hour and 31 minute look back at the life of Miller and his wife, Lainey Miller, with an incredible amount of co-stars and friends like Robert Forrester, Archie Hahn, Leonard Maltin, William Sadler, and Mary Warnoff, to name a few. I believe you can rent or purchase it from iTunes, Amazon Prime, and Vudu. And you should. It's a great documentary. Friends, I do not say this lightly. Dick Miller was one of a kind. He was a treasure. He will sorely be missed. But, like we've done for the episode where we covered 1995's Tales from the Crypt Demon Night, where we made sure to point out Miller's role, there are many more episodes in the future of this podcast where we will get a chance to share our love for his performances. 90 years is an incredible run, and I think it best to leave you with the words of his friend and collaborator for so many years, Joe Dante, who, upon the news of Miller's passing, said on Twitter, quote, "I'm devastated to report that one of my best friends and most treasured collaborators has passed away. I grew up, kinda, watching Dick Miller in movies from the 50s on, and was thrilled to have him in my first movie for Roger Corman. We hit it off, and every script thereafter, I always looked for a role for Dick. Not just because he was my friend, but because I loved watching him act. But he leaves behind over 100 performances, a bio, and a doc. Not bad for a guy who hardly ever enjoyed a starring role." End quote.
Victor, I believe the Retro Asphalt staff is waiting for us.
Thank you, Projectionist. In closing, there is an amazing amount of films and television roles for you to enjoy if you too love Dick Miller. You can't go wrong with any of the roles we mentioned on the show today. And we'd truly love to hear of what roles Miller played that were your personal favorites. Make sure to leave them in the comments on this podcast post on the Retroist. Projectionist, my friend, let's dim the lights in the auditorium, and let's go honor the one and the only Dick Miller.
Indeed, Victor. Indeed.
Are you a method actor?
A method, yeah.
What is a method actor?
I don't know.
But what kind of actor are you?
I'd like an answer to that. You know, Spencer Tracy said something about hit, you know your lines and hit your mark. And I've known that. I know my lines, and I hit my mark, and that's it.
Friends, we truly thank you for joining us once again for the Saturday Frauds podcast. The music you heard at the beginning and ending of our podcast was provided by Peachy. If you have musical needs, you can contact him at peachy@retrowest.com. My co-host, The Projectionist, has his own Facebook page, Projectionist Haunted Drive-In. He generally shares old movie posters and newspaper advertisements for films once a day. It's always neat to see what vintage thing he can dig up to share. A big thank you to Rockford Jay for his personal memories of The Howling. You can find him every day sharing his own love of retro horror on the Saturday Frights Facebook page. He is also a fellow author on the Retroist page. As for myself, you can still find me posting a couple times a day on not just the Saturday Frights page, but the Diary of an Arcade Employee page too, as well as my articles on the Retroist site. I even managed to find time to share some things on the Retroist Clubhouse on Facebook now and again. If you'd like to contact me with suggestions for future episodes, you can reach me at vicsage@retroist.com. And if you like the show, consider subscribing and giving us a rating over on iTunes and Stitcher, or wherever you happen to listen to the show. It helps to spread the word to new listeners. Of course, we owe a great deal of gratitude to the Retroist himself. Not just for hosting the podcast, but for creating a place where we can all share in our love of things retro. So when you need your retro fix, and we all do, make sure to visit The Retroist. Until next time, the vault is sealed.
This has been a Retroist production. Sleep well, and goodbye.